author of the book Truth in Dating, which I've been reading recently. And we're going to be talking today in general about relationships, about communication, and about repairing relationships, because that's what the book 5-Minute Relationship Repair is all about. Welcome back to the show, Susan.
Thank you, Marie. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming back. And so what's been new with you and with 5-Minute Relationship Repair, promoting that? How have you been lately?
Well, everything's going great. The books are flying off the shelves. One thing that we want to urge couples to do, a lot of people read a book, and they go, oh, yeah, we'll do this. We'll get to doing some of these practices someday, you know. But I want to encourage people who have bought the book to download the free workbook that's on the website, 5MinuteRelationshipRepair.com, and use those fill-in-the-blank worksheets. They make it real easy to apply the principles in the book, speaking vulnerably about your core feelings and needs, instead of telling the other person what they ought to be doing differently.
Yes.
You know, that's a big difference in your communication. You know, telling the other person what to do versus revealing your needs. That's probably the biggest message in most of our communication teaching.
Wonderful. Well, that actually brings up a question right off the bat, because I have been doing the 5-Minute Relationship Repair with my boyfriend. We haven't finished it though, because we just listened to we went to Calgary, and while we were there we listened to the Dr. Stan Tatkin program,
right?
And we've been listening to Alison Armstrong, and I have to say, first of all, how awesome it is to have someone who's willing to do this work. But as far as what to do versus revealing needs, one of the problems I'm having is that I'll talk about the needs that I have, and if it's something small, like just a little tweak in communication, it seems like it gets to the point where, like, I'll ask for it and we'll talk about it and he'll kind of get what I need, and then it's not happening, and then I'll ask again really nicely and sort of drop a reminder here and there, and then after like the 20th time I'm having to bring it up again, I start to get a bit upset. And it almost seems like in order for him to get it, or to want to do it, it has to be, I don't want to threaten the relationship, but it almost has to be that the relationship is on the line for any change to actually happen. Is that normal?
Well, you know, what's really normal, Marie, is to have to ask for what you want over and over and over. I hate to give you the bad news, but that's actually pretty normal. I mean, it depends. Now, if we're talking about agreements, you know, that's a different thing, agreements. But if you have a need like a need to be told reassuring things, you know, told loving things, and your partner, that's not your partner's natural MO. I mean, that's a complaint from a lot of women. You know, I like to be validated and stuff. You can't change your partner's normal MO, but what you can do is whenever you feel the need, you ask for what you want. But I'm talking about in this type of case. I'll get into the specifics of your case in a minute. But if it's something like that, you need to be willing to ask for what you want whenever you feel it, and do it with goodwill and positive expectations, rather than, well, how many times do I have to ask him and still not happening? Because, you know, that's kind of a cop-out for us who want, you know, who want our partners to know our needs and anticipate our needs. It's really up to us. I hate to say it. This is the bad news. It's really up to us to ask, to open-heartedly reveal in the moment, because each moment is brand new. So tell me about an instance between you and your boyfriend. What kind of needs are we talking about here?
Well, I like to keep that tether that Dr. Tatkin talks about and just check in throughout the day and whatnot. And he's not the greatest at reaching out. So I've kind of given up on that need a little bit, unfortunately.
Why don't you initiate the check-in?
I have been, and then I don't always hear back.
What do you mean? Like, what do you say? And, I mean, is it a time when, and do you say, is this a good time for a little couple check-in?
I
mean, would you invite him? That's what I would suggest, is you invite him into it.
Mm-hmm. To be honest, I'm...
His head's not always there. So tell me, how would...
To be honest, I'm thinking about just being single and getting a cat.
Well, I'm going to stay with you here because I think this is something fixable. This could really be fixable, but I don't know his side of it. But let's really hear your side. I mean, the couple check-in is a really lovely thing to do. It's really a great practice. But how, if your partner, if that's not their normal style, it does take a little bit of, I'm going to say, positive conditioning. You know, they have to have a success experience in doing it.
Oh, he's had lots of success experiences doing it, and it's like that's part of the problem for me is that I don't see any consistency. Like, he'll do something really well, and I'll give him lots of praise and be like, "Wow, that's so great," and we'll agree on like how proud we are that our relationship is going so well in that moment, and then it's just like. It's like we're starting off at square one again. So I think I'm just kind of thinking I want someone who naturally does those things where it's not a constant uphill battle.
Well, okay, I actually, you know, in the book Truth in Dating, I say to people, hey, don't feel like a failure when your relationship breaks up because most dating relationships should end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just vetting the person, you know, during a dating relationship. You haven't married the person, you haven't got kids. So, you know, breaking up is sometimes difficult, but it's not the end of the world. But I'd like to use you, if
okay.
I may, for our listeners' benefit, to talk about this thing where you said there's no consistency.
Okay. So, yeah...
Partners make generalizations like that. You know, they try something three or four times, they have a failure experience, and then all of a sudden they've got a stereotyped story about their partner. You know, like there's no consistency or he's just not the type of person.
Oh, I'm talking like 20 times, though. Like, over,
uh-huh.
It's been constant.
Yeah.
That's for me. Like three or four times, great. If we could get something down in three or four times... I would want to, yeah, cheer. So it's just, I mean, with my friends and stuff, if I send a text, they generally will respond back, even if it's with just a smiley face or whatever.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't respond, if things are going well between us or I'm having a good day or whatever, then it's easier to let it go. But if we've already had some tension and then I reach out with something sweet or send him a picture or whatever and then I don't get a response, I feel hurt. And I've told him that, you know, obviously I know you can't respond to every single thing all the time, but just know that it does hurt me when I don't get a response.
So you need agreements. I mean, couples need agreements. And like a one-way decision where somebody likes to send texts and generally always expects a return text, that's not an agreement. That's your preference. Is that his style of doing relationship too? Because if you can't get agreements on the important needs that you have, then maybe you're too dissimilar. But you need to start with the idea that, do we have an agreement that whenever I send you a text, you'll... you know, or at least 9 out of 10 times, you'll respond within an hour. You know, do we have an agreement? And if he says, yes, we have an agreement, that's one thing.
We do have an agreement.
Well, I can't always promise that, and he shows some resistance to it, then you need a longer conversation. So what would you say about that?
Actually, I think the last time we almost broke up, we did make an agreement about that, if I recall. In fact, it's written down. This time I was like, can we write these agreements down? So that there's no debating them.
Do you think he made the agreement with a sincere heart, or was he just under threat of losing you?
Because,
you know, people make agreements when they're, like, triggered. You know, we talk about triggering in the 5-Minute Relationship Repair book, when their fear of abandonment is up. And that is not a state where your higher brain is engaged. You know, you're making the agreement from the fear center in the brain, the reptilian brain. So what do you think might have been true there?
Well, he wrote, I asked him to write down what he could provide for me.
Mm-hmm.
Based on some of the things. So, I mean, I think he seemed able to think clearly at the time, and it wasn't a crisis moment or anything. So maybe it wasn't clear enough to him that included, like, responding to I don't know. So maybe I'll have to ask him again and pull out the piece of paper again. But at this point, I'm just kind of getting, like, there's the thing of, like, being attached to a person and really caring about them. But that doesn't mean that they're the right person to spend the rest of your life with.
Absolutely. It doesn't. And, you know, and there probably are people who would be more similar to you in certain ways. But unfortunately, I just want to say something for our listeners, too, is what often happens in a relationship is you might start out kind of similar. You seem similar. I mean, any two people have certain similarities and certain differences, okay? And so in the beginning, you emphasize the positive potential. That's, you know, what we're looking for is our vision of what's possible. But then it's only natural for, I'm going to say, the shadow material, the hidden parts. I call it the tip of the iceberg phenomenon. You know, we've all seen this. What you fell in love with was the tip of the iceberg, but there's a whole bigger part of the iceberg that's submerged under the water that you don't see in, you know, for a few months or a year. How long have you been dating this man?
4 months.
4 months.
But it's actually been, I mean, things are going much better. When we started out, I was like, I can't date you. I can't be with you. No.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And he fought me on it. He was like, I want to be with you. I want it. So things between us have actually improved in the 4 months.
I see. Uh-huh. What were the red? So you saw some red flags right in the beginning.
Yeah, things like not attention, not paying me attention when we showed up at the same event. If we came separately, like, he would barely acknowledge me. Things like phone calls, texting, like, he wouldn't even call me on the phone when it first started. And I was like, I don't want to be with you. Like, I don't want to be with someone who can't do this stuff. And I hope he's not listening right now.
Well, you know what? He might hear about this, you know, from one of his friends. So even if he is, you know, it would be great to have a session. I would even have a session with you guys on the radio if he was willing, but he may not be that public a person. I mean,
he's really not. I'll ask him, though.
That's my bag, but it might not be his, you know. But I think you might need at least one or two sessions with a good therapist before you throw in the towel. I'm not saying he's the right guy for you, but it's also, wouldn't it be interesting, because one of the things, you know, there's two chapters in the book, Truth and Dating, that, you know, you kind of wrote to me about, you know, how do you know when to end a relationship? And one of the things is, if you've really gone to the mat, you know, you've had some therapy, and you really know that this guy just can't, the therapy just doesn't, like, take with him, or I can see so much more of him now that I see him through the therapist's eyes, then you have more closure when you end it. You don't like, I wonder what would have happened if, gee, maybe I didn't, you know. Then you're completely done with the guy, because it's better to be completely done than to kind of break up and go, oh, well, and then he can talk you back into it, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm urging you and all of our listeners. 4 months isn't a very long time, so, you know, you don't have a huge investment. You know, like, I think people shouldn't worry too much about breaking up after 4 months, but there's learning involved. See, that's my whole mission in life, is to help people see how much learning is in a relationship, even if it's not the one. That's what Truth in Dating is all about, is every dating relationship can show you so much about your shadow side, about your unconscious material, the buttons that get pushed, And so you might be able to extract a little more learning out of this before you throw in the towel, Marie. Mm.
Well, yeah, thank you. I'll ask him.
That's my job to say that, but I'm really here to hear your, you know, your truth about it, too.
Well, I'm actually going to bring him to my therapist is a relationship therapist, we've discussed it, and if he comes to see her with me, like, she's my therapist, she's not our therapist.
Yeah.
So it's not quite an even playing field, like he'd be coming to support me.
He's okay with it. You know, therapists can usually not take sides, because we're trained not to take sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's okay with it. So anyway, go ahead.
Okay, well, he seems to be. And I will ask him if he wants to come on the air and do that.
I think that would be real dynamic.
I have a feeling the answer's going
to
be no.
I would talk to him first, free of charge, you know, to help him get a feel for me, you know, so he's not coming in blind. But anyway, back to you.
Cool. Well, one of the reasons that I gave him that I decided to try was the learning opportunity. And the fact, I mean, it seems to me so rare to find someone who's so willing to keep trying.
Yeah.
So I see value in that. But at the same time, I feel like I'm torturing him. I'm just asking him for things that he just isn't. It's not who he is.
Yeah, yeah. It may be, but it may also be that just your very request are triggering him, you know, are triggering his fears of inadequacy. Then he goes into his, because, you know, there's all these elements of a triggering event in the 5-minute relationship repair book. And, you know, so he goes into his reactive feelings, which are some kind of resistance based on a fear of failure. You know, unconsciously, he fears that he cannot be the one for you,
mm-hmm.
you know. So he promises more than he can deliver. That's one of his control patterns. He does this all out of a fear state rather than, you know, and this is what a therapist can do, is make it safe for both people to talk about their needs. Because right now, he's not talking much about his needs, right?
No, I ask him, you know, I need this from you. Is there anything that you need from me in order to provide it? I don't know, he says.
Yeah, see, he's one of those guys that doesn't feel safe. He's got a fear of abandonment, fear of not being good enough for you. So he's operating a lot from fear. He's promising stuff that he really shouldn't be promising. He doesn't have the level of self-awareness where he knows that he's acting from fear. But if he really gets the stuff in 5-minute relationship repair, and he really understands that we all get triggered by the fear of loss of love, you know, he's not like anything wrong with him, and that it's normal. He just doesn't know the language yet to mine his unconscious. You know, you're better at that because you've been in this growth business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got yourself a guy who's loyal, who's loving, but unsophisticated about his own unconscious. He may or may not have the ability to learn that language, you know, to really look deeply in himself. But that would be the test, is if he is. You know, not just whether he can meet your needs, but whether he can look deeply at why he's not meeting your needs, which is something in the realm of his own fears, of his own inadequacy. And if you know, he does need to be able to get to that place to be a good partner for you, because, you know, I want you to have the best partner, you know, really.
He really, like what you said about being loyal and loving, he is wonderful. He's a wonderful person. And the fact that, like, I'm on the one hand, I'm like, I think I should just move on. It's too much for me and too much for him. But at the same time, the chances of finding someone as willing, as loyal, as loving, and committed,
yeah,
I mean, they're not just around every corner.
I agree. And he's got some good raw material, you know. There's some ways that he's attractive to you. What he doesn't have is a certain level of psychological savvy, which can be learned probably some therapy would be the best test. So, you know, it's good. You've already talked to your therapist about bringing him there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
and has he read any of 5-Minute Relationship Repair yet?
He's not much of a reader.
Uh-huh.
You got to come out with an audio book.
I know, and Stan's got a great audio book, and I've listened to it, and it's great. It doesn't help people get so much into their fears the way John's and my work does. But John and I have both studied with Stan. We love Stan, but we just work one level more psychological, you know, and sometimes you need language, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
sometimes you need words.
It's nice that we do have some of the Dr. Tatkin language, and you can go to, what is the website for 5-Minute Relationship Repair? Is it 5-Minute Relationship
Repair? 5MinuteRelationshipRepair.com.
Yeah, so you can go there and download the workbook and grab 5-Minute Relationship Repair, quickly heal upsets, deepen intimacy, and use differences to strengthen love. You can grab that wherever books are sold, I believe.
Yeah, and Stan Tatkin recommends our work to people, and a lot of my therapist friends say, I recommend Stan's book and your book. You know, I mean, so we're right there with him, and they're nice. They're a nice complement to each other.
Absolutely, yeah. All right,
I definitely want to recommend his work, too.
Yeah, he's fabulous. Well, we will be back in just a moment. We are speaking right now with Dr. Susan Campbell. She is co-author of the book 5-Minute Relationship Repair, Quickly Heal Upsets, Deepen Intimacy, and Use Differences to Strengthen Love. And we'll be back with more synchronicity in just a moment. Oh, and I forgot to say that this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, and we are on unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia. And you can find more about this show on my YouTube page, youtube.com/spiritualshow, or you can go to spiritualshow.com. Back in a moment.
Do you like laughing, hilarity, radical thought-provoking creativity, and laughing? UBC Improv is UBC's home for improvisational comedy, theater made up on the spot. Like us on Facebook to learn when our next shows are. Search for us on YouTube for our film sketches. And follow us on Twitter because we want the followers. UBC Improv. Insert cheesy slogan here. Let's get it on. Sugar.
Let's get it on. Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Do you need someone to talk to? If you are seeking a listener who is non-judgmental, confidential, and familiar with resources, then a Speakeasy volunteer might be able to help you. AMS Speakeasy is a peer support service located in the North Concourse of the sub. If you would like to speak to someone, come to the desk and tell a volunteer, or ring the doorbell located behind the desk.
Attention grad students, share your research, find out what's going on in other disciplines, approach your work from a new angle. Check out Fire Talks, the interdisciplinary discussion forum sponsored by the Research Commons at Kerner Library. Visit bit.ly/firetalk for more information.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC, or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking right now with Dr. Susan Campbell. She's co-author of the book 5-Minute Relationship Repair, Quickly Heal Upsets, Deepen Intimacy, and Use Differences to Strengthen Love. And we've spoken with Susan and her co-author, John, in previous episodes. So if you're wondering and want more information specifically about 5-Minute Relationship Repair, you can go back and look for that in the podcasts on CITR.ca or on my YouTube page, youtube.com/spiritualshow. Or you can just go to their website, www.5minuterelationshiprepair.com, where you can download the workbook that goes along with the book. That's free of charge. It's part of the book. So and get the book. It's really useful, and use it if you want to get all the benefit out of it. You really got to use it, which is what you were saying earlier, Susan. And we were talking before the break about asking for what you need and kind of having to ask. And I can imagine that people who continue to ask for what they need and then don't get it eventually learn that there's no point in asking, and then they kind of start to shut down.
Right.
What do you do about that?
Yeah. Well, let me bring that into the context of how triggering that can be. We talk in the book about getting your buttons pushed, getting triggered, having an automatic fear reaction that taps into one of your core fears, like, core fear of I'll never get what I want. But deeper than that core fear of I'll never get what I want is, like, I'm not valuable, I'm not lovable, I'm not worthy. So at deepest level, a lot of us who experience difficulty getting what we want in the world have a very core fear that, based on conditioning from a long time ago, that we're not worthy, that if we ask, it's not going to happen anyway. It happened way before you met this boyfriend, whoever the current boyfriend is or the current husband. It's deep in our subconscious. So when we get into a relationship where we're frustrated like that and we go, geez, I never get what I want, and what's wrong with him type of thing, shouldn't I move on? A lot of us don't realize that we're triggered. We've built up, or maybe we even came in to our adult relationships with that sort of generalized fear of asking for what we want. Some of your listeners can maybe realize that you have this. You get a little anxious, a little strident, a little impatient. Maybe there's a little tone when you ask. Maybe it's a little too indirect the way you ask. There's ways that many of us ask for what we want that signal that we're just slightly triggered, that we're not at ease. And our partner, in the book, we say, you're wired together. The two of you are a we system, even if you've only been together a few months, so that when you're triggered, your partner is actually triggered too. It's like we're part of the same bubble. We have these vibes. They can feel your vibes. So if they feel that you're a little anxious, then they're also going to be a little anxious, or maybe more than a little. And at that point, you're communicating with your reptilian brains. And so we have to process those triggers. We have to be willing to pause and go, hey, there was just a little tone of voice there that I reacted to, and now I notice I'm starting to shut down. See, this is possibly what could be going on, in your relationship, Marie, that by now, even if you were open-hearted and vulnerable in the beginning when you started asking for what you want, by now you're a little triggered, you know. I've said this before, so I'm, you know, a little edgy about asking. I'm a little angry, maybe, or fearful. So, you know, that's going to get picked up. And what we need to be able to do is step back and see. This is the biggest skill in relationship, is to be able to step back and notice what just happened. What's going on? Check in with my body. Oh, yeah, I'm a little shut down now. You know, I'm being the guy right now. He's kind of shut down. So he starts talking from his automatic brain, which is just anything to make her happy. I'll say whatever she wants. You know, we call those control patterns. A lot of us women, you know, boy, this guy's a pretty good guy. He's kind of, you know, he's kind of adoring, and, you know, I like that being adored feeling. So I want to believe what he says. But that's also my reptilian brain, you know. It's not my totally conscious part of myself. And so until we're able to pause and really look deeply, and so, you know, I don't know if your partner, you know, we talked about your particular partner before, you know, I don't know if he's interested in looking that deeply, but it sounds like his motivation for learning this stuff is very high right now. So the time to be teaching him this stuff is right now. I call it during the romance stage, you know, teach the other person all the skills that you're going to need for later on, which is going to be the power struggle stage, which is where things get really difficult and you need tools to talk about difficult things. So I think you're at a good place to learn to pause after every request and just feel, was I a little agitated there? Was I a little anxious? Was I transmitting impatience or fear? So what do you think, Marie, just in your case, when you want to ask for check-ins throughout the day and you decide, okay, I'm going to try it again. I've done it 20 times, but I'm going to give it one more time because Susan said I ought to. But I'm kind of anxious here. Does any of this ring a bell? What do you think about what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I want him to want to do that. Yeah. Like, I know he misses me throughout the day, but then I want to hear that. And if that's such a, like, it just feels like it's so hard for him. And he says that it's not, but
you know, when you say I want him to want to, all of us women, we understand that.
Yeah.
But I bet you there's some guys out there who say, when she says that to me, she's letting me know that I'm not okay with her the way I am. That the way I do express love is not good enough.
It's not.
They're not good enough fears are getting triggered. As soon as they hear that, I want him to want. You know, basically they hear, I want him to be different.
Yeah. Well, I do, which is why I should find a new boyfriend.
Yeah, you do want him to be different. however, there's another way to communicate that from a more self-aware place on the woman's part.
Okay.
You know, you can start. I mean, I would say that's the lazy way. I want him to be different. But if you do the practices in 5-minute relationship repair, which is requires much more inner work. You know, we know about yoga, okay? We know about Tai Chi. We know about meditation. These are practices. Relationship has to be taken on as a practice. It has to be taken on as an inner awareness practice, because the stuff that goes wrong in relationships is so deep and so hard to navigate if you're not into relationship as a practice, that you're going to have a failure experience. And I would say 90% of people in the world are basically having a failure experience in their relationships. There's 10% who got co-regulated very well as children, had exceptional parents who let them cry all their tears out and didn't try to shush them and all that. I would say that's 10% of the general population. The rest of us have to do the work after we're adults and grow ourselves up. You know what I mean? And that's where it takes a lot of work to not just say, I want you to be this way, but to look deeply into, where's that coming from in you? What fear, what need that is in you that's like a pure, open-hearted need? that's unconditioned by the fear that you won't get it. There probably isn't much of that in most of us right now, so we need to admit it, you know. But by admitting it, by admitting the vulnerable fears and what we come to know as our core needs, like the need to know that I matter to you, because that's really what you want. It's not always text me. It's I need to know that I matter to you. And when you can communicate that to the guy without giving him too many specific instructions, but say, you know, but I have trouble feeling that I matter. You know, it's part of my own childhood conditioning. And what would really help me is when I text you, if you just do something to help me feel like you really care about me. Because that means so much to me. You know, that kind of communication will tend to work. No guarantees. Everybody's different. But will tend to work more than just a matter-of-fact statement of your needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to come across with heart if the guy's going to really receive it and with no criticism. And, of course, that's hard if we've already been frustrated by the guy.
Mm-hmm. I really like the way you phrased that, I need to know that I matter to you. And I've mentioned, like, I need to know that I'm a priority and things like that. And I do, I mean, through, in the beginning, I was like, no, he doesn't. I'm not a priority. I absolutely was not. But I do know now intellectually that I'm a priority because I can piece together some of his behaviors that sort of show that. But the feeling a lot of the time is still not there. You're right.
Yeah. And you know, I have a lot of stock phrases in the book, like, I need to know I matter to you. And I put them in there for a reason, because there's an I and a thou. There's a connection in that way of phrasing it. I need to know I'm a priority, even if you say to you, it doesn't quite have the heart, you know? And so John and I, the language we try to teach people, It sounds rote and it sounds like a script, but it's really training you to go a little deeper into your vulnerable feelings. So I'm glad that you like that phrase, I need to know I matter to you, because it does seem to work for people, you know, better than just a factual phrase. I used to say to a guy, I don't do well being neglected. Well, you know, that's really not going to get across to the guy, right? But that was one of my stock phrases. I don't do well with neglect. You know, it sounds a lot like I need to be a priority. You know what I mean? You can see how that's going to be kind of hard. Whereas if I could have said the words that I'm teaching other people right now, I would have had a lot more success,
too. Well, I want to put the name of your book out there again. It's 5-Minute Relationship Repair, Quickly Heal Upsets, Deepen Intimacy, and Use Differences to Strengthen Love by Susan Campbell and John Gray. And we were also talking about Susan's other book, Truth in Dating. So you can check that out as well if you're in early dating or just looking for someone. But you mentioned that, so we're in the romance stage right now, and then there's the control stage, right?
Right, right.
So
yeah,
things
I wrote
are going to get
called The Couple's Journey, that's available on Kindle or my website. And that talks about 5 stages that relationships tend to go through. So it can help people realize that it's not all romance, that it's supposed to hurt sometime, but you got to know how to do the work of the power. The second stage is the power struggle stage.
Or I could just get a cat, right? Because it sounds like things are going to get worse.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah. They are. They are, unless you... The work of the romance stage is teach the other person how you like to be treated, which is exactly what you're trying to do, Marie. So good for you. Sincerely, that is, and you know, so you're right on schedule trying to teach him, but I wonder if he feels safe, like we both said earlier, he doesn't seem to even know what his needs are. Okay? That's a dangerous situation for a guy. To always be trying to spin the plates to keep everybody else happy, but they don't even have their own needs in their own mind. Okay? That's a personality style. And, you know, that kind of personality often gets attracted to somebody who has a fairly differentiated notion of her needs, like you do. You know, you're pretty clear on your needs, and you can articulate them. Opposites attract a lot of times, and this is in my book, Beyond the Power Struggle. You know, I've written tons of books about relationships. Opposites attract so that they can learn a little bit about what the other person has that they don't have. So if you and this man stayed together, he would eventually have to learn how to articulate his needs and be conscious of them. And, you know, I'm not sure what you need to learn from being with him, but perhaps it has something to do with being just a little more tuned in to where the other person's at, because he's way too tuned in. He's so tuned in to where the other person's at that he loses touch with himself.
But that's the thing. Problem. And right now, we're
that's what we learn in the couple's journey, you know, romance stage, power struggle stage. But when we get conscious, we get to the stability stage where we learn this stuff that I just was saying, you know, that opposites attract for a learning purpose.
All right. Well, right now we're talking about 5-minute relationship repair, quickly heal upsets, deepen intimacy, and use differences to strengthen love. And we're speaking with the co-author, Dr. Susan Campbell. And if you want more information about that or to download the workbook, you can go to 5-MinuteRelationshipRepair.com. So, Susan, we're talking about, like you were saying, how he's so tuned in to what I need. But that's the thing is, I don't feel like he is.
No, he's tuned in to, but he isn't really, but he's
trying.
He's focused on keeping you happy.
Yes.
But he doesn't tune in very deeply because he's unsophisticated at this point. He needs some more training. You don't have a trained... We have a joke in my girlfriend circle, you know, he's a trained man. You know, it means sexually trained, but it also means emotional intelligence trained, you know? There aren't a lot of trained men out there. So, you know, like you and I were saying, he's a good guy, he's loyal, he's loving, he adores you, but he isn't trained. Well, so, you know, he has to decide if he wants to be trained or not. And I know that sounds terrible to you men out there, but it really means emotional intelligence. You know, women like us, you and me, Marie, we like emotionally intelligent women. I mean, men, you know. Or women.
And women,
like,
yeah.
Women. You know, we like emotionally intelligent people, friends, partners, yeah.
But I noticed as you were saying that brought up another trigger/fear for me. Yeah. The guys that I date, I do train them. And then they go off and marry someone else after I put all that work in, and I swear to God, I'm just going to give up on men and get a cat. I'm done. I can't do it anymore.
Do you go as far as to bring them into counseling?
This one boyfriend I brought in once, this will be the, but we're just going to do one or two sessions. But yeah, I mean.
Because I hate to see, you know, you're such a good woman, you know, and I'm not just saying that. I've looked at your stuff online and, you know. But you may also, and because you're very self-disclosing, and you know you've shared this, I think, with your public. You know, you have some wounds from your past too, and you're aware of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, you know, we all have to become. That's part of being trained. The men have to become aware of their wounds too, and that happens through counseling. And we all have to get a little more humble about the fact that. You know, the way we ask for what we want can be colored by deeply unconscious fears that we won't get it, or when we listen to a partner hearing what she wants, that listening can be colored by deeply unconscious fears that we're going to be a disappointment to somebody. I mean, so many men with the dynamic that you two have this fear of disappointing somebody. And they're overly focused on other people's needs, even though they're not that good at following through. That's because they're not fully owning all the stumbling blocks inside themselves. Because if they're afraid they're not good enough, then there's an ego part that's going to be proving, you know, a little resistant to requests. You know, I'm good enough the way I am, and you can't tell me how I should love. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to say that out loud, but there's unconscious resistance when a man has this fear that he's not good enough. So sometimes there's a resistance to self-improvement. But really, only a skilled therapist can help you get beneath that and feel safe enough. And somebody who's skilled at couples work, because couples work is different than individual work. So anyway, you said your counselor works with couples too, so that's great. I think you ought to at least give a guy, if you think he's a good enough candidate, give him the benefit of going into counseling fairly early in the relationship, just to see, and then. Get rid of him if he doesn't have the interest in becoming more self-disclosing and self-aware.
Mm-hmm. I think
you're going to need that. You're going to need that, obviously.
Yeah, but like you said, I mean, there's so few people out there, not just men. I mean, there's so few people
women too.
Out there.
Like I say, about 10% of people are really functional without some education, without doing the practices. But back to you. Go ahead.
He seems willing. He's been putting in the work. But I do feel because he's not really aware of his needs, it ends up being all about me. And that's not the kind of relationship I want. I want to be able to meet his needs too. But if he doesn't let me know what they are, like I try to sort of decipher what I think his needs are, but that only goes so far.
Yeah, a therapist can help you with that. You know, I work with a lot of couples where this is a dynamic, the same as you guys. And, you know, I remember joking with a guy last week. I said, you know, if she's happy, you're happy, right? You know, and he goes, right, you know. And, you know, that's probably true in your relationship at this point. At this point. I'm not saying that's where it needs to stop. But he's just trying to get a signal that you're happy with him. Mm-hmm. That's his need right now. Is to feel like he's good with you, and he's not feeling that.
No, and it breaks my heart because I feel like I just feel like it's torture for both of us.
I know it is. It is. You guys are stuck right now.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, it's not all bad.
I mean, it does. Sometimes people get stuck, and it just takes a couple sessions with a third party. I'm not suggesting somebody that you've only dated for 4 months that you go to endless couples counseling with, but just to get a little sense of whether there's any hope at all.
Mm-hmm. And from what I've told my therapist, as well as one of my male friends who's met him, I mean, they both seem to think that there is hope. But how do you know when you're with someone who has such an opposite personality and attachment type?
Mm-hmm.
How do you... I mean, at what point, because I'm kind of coming to a point where I have to make a decision. Am I going to continue to invest in this, or am I going to bail? And I'm really leaning towards bailing. I know you said give it a couple mm-hmm. of sessions.
Well, here's one of the things, you know, I have two chapters in the book Truth in Dating about how to know when to end it and how to end things consciously. And one of the questions to ask yourself when you're considering ending it is there any learning still happening for me? Is there still something I could be learning here if I was honest with myself? Or are we just on such different pages? I mean, sometimes you're on such different realities, you know, like different, literally like on different planets almost, you know, that there's even no basis for any bridge. But are you still able to learn anything? That would be the question I would ask you. Have you done all your homework? Have you done the practices in 5-minute relationship repair and tried them unilaterally? Because even one person can do these practices without the other partner. And just, you know, like I'd say, do everything you can do to be the best, most aware person you can be. And if that doesn't work, you know, well, then you've done everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, when asking that question, I have to say no. There's definitely still learning available to me. But my one concern, though, is that there was a point where I felt like we were both really learning a lot, even though it was difficult. Mm. I'm starting to get to the point now where I think that my worry is this going to do more damage to my beliefs about relationships and undo all the good work that we've done together? Because the more I get triggered, the more stringent and those beliefs get.
Well, that's pretty much something between you and yourself, and you and your counselor. Whether you, I'm just going to say, have the inner motivation to do any more inner work. I mean, sometimes you just have to be honest. You know, I want something easier. I mean, I've done that. I've ended relationships. I just want something easier. Sometimes what I'll find is, well, it's easier in some ways, but I've still got to do that inner work on my triggers, no matter where I go. And that has been the case for me. But, you know, I'm living the life of my dreams at this stage in my life, Marie, but I'm much older than you, and I have the partner of my dreams, and he's emotionally intelligent and every other thing that my parents would have. I was saying this to my friends last night. This is exactly what my parents are dead, but this is exactly the relationship my parents would have wanted for me, you know, because my parents really knew me well, better than I knew myself. You know, so some, you know, you can go ahead and want something easier and just be honest about that. Well, it's got a little more positive reinforcement in it, you know, but then just don't make it about the other person. Just say, I'm just not quite willing to do this much work.
Mm-hmm. And he works so hard. I feel guilty not being happy because he tries so hard.
You know, he may just not have the tools.
Well, that, yeah, I mean, I think that goes without saying.
You know,
but I mean,
but he's working with the wrong tools.
Yeah.
You know, he's working with his plate spinning. You know what I mean by plate spinning, right? Trying to keep everyone happy, trying to keep you from being unhappy. And that's the wrong tool. Mm-hmm. He needs to look at his own fears and the needs underneath his fears and start being more assertive about his needs, and then he'll make better agreements with you. There might be a little negotiation back and forth. You know, I don't know his history, but he doesn't have a good history with conflict. You know, he's a conflict avoider, whatever. You know, he can learn these tools.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting you talked about things that are difficult. Like, I think that that's one of the things part of that belief of not getting what I want, that, you know, I'm not worthy, I'm not going to get what I want. It's almost like I seek out the most difficult situation. I have to go like the hard way and really learn everything instead of just like picking something that flows.
Yeah. So when you say that, you know, I want to open myself up to the fact that maybe you do need to follow your intuition right in the beginning a little bit more. Know that there is somebody out there for you who could be easier than this man, and just, you know, get a cat until somebody easier and more validating, you know, more naturally responsive comes along, because maybe you are subconsciously proving to yourself that relationships are impossible or that you can't possibly get what you want. You know? So, you know, I really am open to that too, that some people need to go for the easy path. You know? But it's hard to know which is which. You know? I'd say give it a couple sessions with a counselor. And then if he doesn't show, you know, fairly quick improvement, you know, we'll take care of yourself. But, you know, I'd hate to see you settle for a cat, frankly, even though cats are, I love cats. you're a relationship woman, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have been speaking with Dr. Susan Campbell. She's the author of 5-Minute Relationship Repair, Quickly Heal Upsets, Deepen Intimacy, and Use Differences to Strengthen Love. And yeah, you can go to the website, 5MinuteRelationshipRepair.com. Coming up in just a moment here on CITR is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Horrific. So, Dr. Campbell, is there anything that you want to add before we say goodbye? And thanks again for being on the show.
Yeah, well, I do phone and Skype coaching because now people have seen a little bit of my coaching style. I usually go a little deeper with the person than this. But, you know, I'd like to make people aware of my services. So.
Wonderful. And is that SusanCampbell.com? Is that the best place to contact
you? They would go to SusanCampbell.com to find out how to contact me. My phone number's there, and I give free 15-minute sample sessions.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. And so there's 5-Minute Relationship Repair, Beyond the Power Struggle, A Couple's Journey, Truth in Dating. Any other books that you want to mention before we say goodbye?
Getting Real is my brand, actually, teaching people how to speak vulnerably and authentically about their feelings and needs. That's the basic text for emotional intelligence is Getting Real.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, and I'll let you get on with your day, and hopefully, well, I'll ask him and see if he wants to
That'll
do a session.
That'll be fun. Okay.
All right. Take care, Susan. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
And this has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for being with us today. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and I want to send you lots and lots of love. Be well. I love you so much.
Namaste!
Namaste.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the food bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
We be. Uh-huh.
A Jihad for Love. Whitewater Black Gold. A Red Girl's Guide to Reasoning. East Hastings Pharmacy. Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry. Misrepresentation.
Cinema Politica UBC screens politically charged films with speakers and discussions every month. Screenings take place at the Norm Theater in the Sub and are by donation. To learn more, visit cinemapolitica.org/UBC.
Having trouble finding affordable, fresh baked goods and coffee? Come down to Agora Cafe located in the McMillan Building at UBC. There's also space available to study.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the 77th Annual Radio Relay Race.
That's right, Jim. Lots of great radio stations out on the track this morning, but my personal favorite is CITR. That baby's been going strong for close to 5 decades.
Astute observation as always, Bill, but I think the key is going to be passing the broadcast smoothly from the old sub to the new station in the Nest.
Absolutely agree, Jim. Folks, you should tune in on Saturday, June 27th, and listen live to their first broadcast from the new station.
That was oddly direct, Bill.
You know how much I value clarity, Jim. The big changeover happens from 1 to 5 p.m. on the 27th.
Tune in then, folks.
The Sled Island Music and Arts Festival returns to Calgary June 24th to 28th. 5 whirlwind days with over 300 bands, films, art, and comedy across 30 venues. Curators Godspeed You Black Emperor Top of Bill featuring Television, De La Soul, Yola Tango, and more. Visit sledisland.com for details.
Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born 3, they stubborn, and that's a magic number.
You are listening to live Chris Horrific. I know, it's sometimes hit or miss. Don't give me a hard time. Just listen to the Parts Unknown show.